Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
You want to play a game? Okay. How can I win?
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead, impact communities, and impact lives.
I'm too strong.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send the love.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest in sports, the hottest sports people out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
Been a lot that's been going on. I know a lot of people. I'm going to hurry up. Last week, Miss TT, I hope she's not a blind, but definitely I'll get this out the way. She did say that a shutter would lose. Wisconsin, you know, we said that, you know, other teams was going to do it, but the main bet was that Baylor was going to lose to Wisconsin. So I'm going to hurry up and get it out the way so she doesn't rub it in my face if she calls. I hope not, but if she does, Game Strong World, you already heard it from my mouth that
she was right. Wisconsin is right. And not only that, also, we got what I'm hearing is we got Miss TT
by popular demand. I'm just being informed that she's our special host again. And let me just go ahead and introduce you. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm back. I'm wonderful, you know. It feels wonderful to be a winner, you know. Winning bets and all, that's what I do. I know you wouldn't be happy here that I was on the line because I was going to rub it in your face, but yes, I'm here to tell you that I won the bet, as usual. Winner shuffle. Hold on, let me get it. Losers.
You know what? I'm not going to even rain on the parade. Yes, you did say that Wisconsin will beat Baylor. So go ahead, get it out your system. Blah 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 blah. That really wasn't an important game for me.
Of course it wasn't, because you lost the bet. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. I'm used to winning, so I don't have to do too much bragging. I just want you to understand when I'm right, I'm right. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait to see you in your University of Dayton gear. I can't wait. I'm going to post pictures everywhere. Game Strong people, look on the page because it's coming. He will be dressed in University of Dayton gear from head to toe.
Yeah. I mean, I am a man of my word. So, you know, I do have to wear University of Dayton you know, since they've been making some type of miraculous run. You know, I have to wear some type of T-shirt that says Dayton. So I'll get, like, a little white T-shirt called Dayton Flyers.
Oh, the hate is real. Oh, such a sore loser.
I'm not a sore loser. I'm a poor winner.
Well, you don't win too often, especially when you bet against me. So,
okay, whatever.
But Wisconsin did exactly what I knew they would do. They was going to shut Baylor down completely.
They took Baylor out of their game, and it was all right. That's what they were supposed to do. Wisconsin by far has proved that they were a better team. I actually played some good defense. I was surprised. Normally, you know, you look at Wisconsin as one of those multi-talented offensive teams, but they really improved on their defense. So I pulled up Wisconsin. That in hand, Final Four. We got Florida versus Utah. Wisconsin versus Kentucky. Okay. Who do you have winning?
I have Florida beating UConn, and I have Wisconsin beating Kentucky. Now, UConn has previously beat Florida back in December, but it was a buzzer beater. So I think Florida is going to come back with a vengeance. They are going to feel some type of way, and they are going to want to prove to UConn that they won with a lucky shot last time. So I really think Florida is going to take it to UConn. No mercy.
This is a tough, real tough one. Guard play. Shabazz Anthony, UConn, Boatwright. A lot of guys in that UConn line can definitely step up. Oh, but also, Florida has been a powerhouse throughout the whole tournament. But therefore, it's been, I don't want to say pretty much a cakewalk. Just let it be known, it was expected for them to just fall.
Yeah, it was.
So
I think a lot of people had them high on their bracket.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people had Florida in the championship.
Yeah.
So do I feel upset? Do I feel disappointment? Do I feel like UConn can sneak one in and win it? I think so.
I think it's possible because, like I said, they beat them before, but it was a very close game, and that Shabazz, he's the one that hit the game winner that game. If they can hold him down, Florida definitely can pull out the win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be another neck-to-neck type game.
See, that, and that, they have great role players. A lot of people can step up. It doesn't have to be Shabazz Napier per se. He's definitely the main guy that gets everybody going. If he gets going, then everybody.
And he's good in the clutch. He definitely is.
Yeah. And definitely he loves the big moment. You know, all UConn guards. They get a net of getting guards that can come through in the big time moments.
Right.
I'm going to go.
Don't be scared. Go ahead. Don't be scared. Stop being scared. Make your pick.
UConn, Florida, UConn.
Damn. You scared?
You know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to go UConn by two.
Okay.
They do it again.
All right.
Because this is going to be the first real performance.
I can kind of agree with that. It'll be a good matchup, but I do believe that Florida will pull it. I think they got a chip on their shoulder from that last loss, and they trying to prove something in UConn. So I definitely feel like they're going to pull the victory.
Okay. So you got Florida?
Florida.
That's you. Okay. This Wisconsin team you all of a sudden believe in.
They're good. I mean, what can I say? When they're that good, how can you bet against them? They've proven game after game after game that they can come through. So why would I go against them?
You got UConn going against Kentucky. Not UConn. You have Wisconsin beating Kentucky?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I do. I think they can do it. I think they can do it.
So you're going to bet on Wisconsin again?
Yeah. 2-2, baby. Let's go.
Okay. This is all right. So you're going on the record.
I'm going on the record to say that I will, again, be trade in another bet.
I'm glad there's a round of applause.
I mean, you know, that's what happens when winners talk, baby.
I'm glad there's a round of applause. Kudos to the people that are in the town tonight, because they evidently have jumped on this bandwagon right along with you. So therefore, next week, when I'm back on Game Show, we will be talking about how Kentucky pulled another one out and beat Wisconsin. UConn. And Kentucky.
I don't think so.
In the championship.
I don't think so. Florida and Wisconsin all day. Wow. It's okay, though. 2-2. I had no problem being a winner 2 times in a row. No problem.
Well, you bet some games last week, and they were, you were wrong.
No, the only game we bet on was Maryland and Wisconsin. I had my pick. No,
you don't want to catch up to it.
No, I made my pick, but if we can go back, I only bet you on one game.
Okay. You're right.
Don't be trying to get a come up. Just lose gracefully.
Look,
like, just lose gracefully,
you know,
my
it's
man.
It's all right. It's all right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the main bet you want to win.
Do what Baylor did. Bow out gracefully.
You know, it's all right. The Baylor is good. Wisconsin just happened to be better that night. But against Kentucky, I'm going to go Kentucky. About five.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go to Kentucky by 5 now.
Okay. You do that. And when that 7-foot powerhouse score another 28, I can't wait till Monday.
Julius Randle is a double-double machine. If he so happens to leave this year, he will be easily a top 5 pick. And what better stage to do it on than the Final Four, going to the championship? This is not only helping the University of Kentucky win games, but this is solidifying his resume as being a top 5 pick. So you know what? By me saying that, I'm definitely going with Kentucky.
Oh, you went from being scared to being confident. I dig it.
Nervous, you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. The stage, the bigger the stage, the more, how should I say, publicity the university is for Kentucky. Julius Randle, fab superstar freshman, coming into Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with him, Jabari Parker, Wiggins, everybody's been kind of shaky as far as the freshmen is coming out, except for Julius Randle. Randle, he had some bad games, but he's always been consistent with the double-double. What better time to get a double-double than right here, right now? Letting everybody know, hey, I can do it on the grandest of stages. This is why I'm a top 3 pick in the draft.
But it's been great players this whole tournament that got shut down. And he can get shut down, too, just like anybody else in the tournament. You're talking about one player. You're highlighting this one player that's oh so great. And I'm not knocking him. He can play. But what I'm saying is, can he outplay everybody else on Wisconsin? I don't think so. He would literally have to carry Kentucky on his back because all the other players you name are inconsistent. As you said, they're inconsistent. So we don't know what we're going to get when they play. Wisconsin has been consistent this whole tournament. Everybody consistent this whole tournament. And I told you, ain't nobody messing with Bigfoot. 7-foot, ain't nobody messing with him. He's going to get his.
Look, We shall see.
We will.
And plus, also put in place, Coach Calipari for Kentucky has been here. No matter how much out of the loop Kentucky is, moments like this, you always find them around. He's done it with the lead guard, the lead forward. They've always, he recruits for things like this. Now, during the regular season, will they make noise? Sometimes. Most of the time. But the Final Four, the Big 8, 16, this is the time they show up most of them.
Now, I'm not surprised they made it to the Final Four. Not at all. But that's it.
I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. Because I had Louisville winning it all.
You had Dayton beating Florida. I have my bracket right in front of me. I had Dayton losing to Florida. I knew that was going to happen. I may be a fan, but I'm very realistic at the same
time. You had Dayton beating Florida.
No, I didn't.
You kept it to yourself.
Why did I keep it to myself?
You kept it to yourself. On the show, you was like, yeah, you know, Florida win. But in front of the TV, you tweeted, you texted all your friends. You said, hey, you know what? I hope Dayton pulls this out.
Way. Ladies and gentlemen, Trey is a liar, okay? Y'all, he's a loser and a liar, okay? Don't believe anything that you're saying right now.
The hate is real.
You just hate on Dayton so much. It's the hate spirit, but you know what? You love it. It's okay. You really love Dayton.
I'm just glad you
were being here. Shout out to 937, y'all. Trey love y'all. Don't believe the hype. He love y'all.
You just knew they were going to lose the Florida.
Yeah, I knew they were going to lose the Florida. I'm realistic. I'm a fan. I rep my city, but I'm realistic. I ain't no fool either.
Why
I did not.
Why is the bracket saying Dayton wins it all?
That bracket doesn't say that.
Your bracket has beaten everybody.
You know what?
It's
I got
okay.
you. You mad because you lost, so I understand. I'm feeling the heat. It's cool, though. It's cool.
You know the best thing about this? Your team lost and my team lost. All five of my teams lost.
I got my Final Four. Two out of four. I was right on two out of four. You wasn't right on nothing.
Yep.
I don't know what you was doing on your bracket.
I had Syracuse going, Louisville going.
I did have Louisville going, though. I did.
Arizona going.
He was all bad.
Yeah, so, you know. That's,
it's okay. Next year, I'll help you with your bracket. I help you.
One thing you're going to do is pick Dayton.
I'm not. The hate is real, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to say nothing much.
It don't matter. Publicity is publicity. Keep on saying Dayton. Keep on saying Dayton. You just giving us. You just showing us love. You just showing us love. It's okay.
You know what? I'm not just for a Minute Major school. That's what the big dance is all about. Getting a chance to showcase your skills as a program, letting everybody know. Hey, yes, going to the top 25 schools are great. It's a wonderful accomplishment for not only yourself, but for your resume as a basketball player, but if you can go ahead to a mid-major school like a Dayton, or like a Mercy, or any other school that could just put you on the radar, the Big Ten is just one of those games any given night, anything could happen. So you know what? A lot of pops, a lot of respect goes out to the rest of you guys for opening a lot of eyes. So Ohio State, look out. Some of your recruits are going there. Also, we have in news that the Washington Redskins have some interest in acquiring Pro Bowl wide receiver Sean Jackson, who has been recently released by the Philadelphia Eagles. The reasons of him being released, we all want to know. If any one of you guys know out there in the James Bond world, So why DeSean Jackson's been released, please let us know. Let ESPN know. Because no one knows.
The slightest idea
why the superstar, why the super, DeSean Jackson has to be released.
And they didn't even get nobody for him. They just released him. So it was just, you can't even say it was a business decision because they didn't even get nobody for him. They just said, and it was a very short statement. They just basically said, we are letting them go. We're parting ways. That was it. No explanation. The rumor is gang ties, but that has not been confirmed, which I find quite ridiculous because there's a lot of things that other athletes in that league do off the field that doesn't affect their current situation as far as who they play for, how much money they make, whether they get released, whatever. So I find it odd that they would release him because of suspected gang ties. There's nothing been confirmed. He wasn't arrested for anything that we know of. They're being real hush-hush about it. So everybody that I've talked to and things that I've read, everybody's real suspicious, like, okay, it's something else going on. But nobody knows what it is. The Eagles are being very quiet about it. They're not saying much. So it's just like, why? He's good.
You know what? This is a touchy subject because DeSean Jackson is a hell of a wide receiver. You keep Riley Cooper. You sign Riley Cooper, who, granted, had a good season this year. It's instant when he said the racial slur, and he gets signed to the Eagles for the contract. It's kind of mind-boggling to me because DeSean Jackson, the only reason we all know about Riley Cooper besides the incident of him using the racial slur is because we play Madden. That's it. You just see Riley Cooper on there and Madden.
And before, like, who is that?
Yeah. You know, you just know him as the wide receiver with long, tough hair and just substitutes for any time DeSean Jackson or Jeremy Maclin gets hurt. So that's the only reason you would know Riley Cooper. DeSean Jackson, three-time Pro Bowler, definitely one of the most targeted wide receivers on the Philadelphia Eagles. You hear about this, and it's like, okay, you don't have any concrete evidence that he's gang-affiliated.
Well, it's not even that. It goes, the Eagles aren't even saying anything. They just said, we parted ways. It was very short. I think it was literally two sentences in the statement that they gave. And that was it. So everybody's like, wait, what? Like, really? Why? What's going on? Like, what happened?
Yeah, just like,
and people are Googling, they're trying to figure out what's going on, and nothing's coming up except for the suspected gang tie.
Yeah, just,
which I'm not going to speak on that man's character. I have no idea if he's affiliated with a gang or not, but I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but what does that have to do with him being on the Eagles? I mean, if he's not actively involved in gang activity, which if he was, I'm pretty sure we would have heard about it. He got arrested for a drive-by or whatever. If he was actively involved in gang activity, then I can see them releasing him. But that does not seem to be the case. So it's just very weird to me that they would release him, get nobody for him. They just let him go.
That's the only thing I'm really thinking about. Just like, you know, as you know, you go to, you hear about the Eagles organization. Yeah, we just released DeSean Jackson. Wow. Because we released him.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, you know, Chip Kelly, you know, I like DeSean Jackson. Well, why did you let him go? Because we released him.
But, so I feel like in the next few weeks, more is going to come out because people really want to know. The fans want to know.
And yes, they were saying, like, his attitude, his behavior as far as the locker room has been not so great.
But I don't really think that's that big of an issue. I mean, can you really sit up here and say every player in the NFL has a great attitude on or off the field. No, like.
And you're supposed to have that great attitude because you got to understand you're a model, a role model. Whether you like it or not, you are a role model to people who are trying to get in your profession.
But this is my thing. Really what they do in the locker room, nobody really knows. As far as fan base, we don't really know what goes on in the locker room. So if he has a bad attitude, was it so bad that you will release a great player? He's a great asset to your team. Was his attitude could not have been that bad that you will overlook all his accomplishments, everything that he gave you, all the qualities and skills that he's possessed because of his attitude? I just don't think that it has anything to do with his attitude. That makes no sense to me.
You know what? Yeah, because you had T.O.
With a T.O. Oh, he has a horrible attitude. Oh, my God. He's...
But this is something that, you know, as time goes along, you will understand. You will find out the real reasons why Deshaun's attitude.
Maybe, maybe not. You never know. I hope there's answers because fans really want to know.
I hope he doesn't go to the rescue because Deshaun Jackson on one side, Pierre Garçon on the other side, Alfred Morris in the backfield, Robert Griffin. That's going to be
deadly.
Just, and I'm thinking as a Cowboys fan, do we want Deshaun Jackson? Of course, yes. Who wouldn't want Deshaun Jackson? I just don't want him going anywhere in the division. Let him go to the Texans. Let him go to San Francisco. Let him go to Seattle. Anywhere but the NFC East.
Well, the Cowboys suck, and they're going to lose anyway, so I don't really think that really matters, makes a difference if he's in his division or not. Whether he's there or not is really not going to make a difference on the Cowboys. So...
I'm
just saying.
Since your team is not even a real NFL football
team. Oh, so now we're not real. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the hate on Ohio, it continues. The Bengals have a better record than you, my friend. Not just one, but two seasons in a row. So you might want to slow down on all that talk about the Bengals because we were better than the Cowboys. Because as I recall, we made that bet too, and I won that too. Two times in a row. For two seasons, y'all didn't even make it to the playoffs. So how are you really going to sit up here and say that the Bengals are a real NFL team and your team sit at home every playoff season?
Because they were Cincinnati Bengals. As soon as you said Bengals fan, the sound people say, who in their right mind would be Cincinnati. I'm not going to even say the whole team name. The Cincinnati fan. I commend your team. You must like the team because of the colors.
I don't like the team. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? We have not been the best, okay? I will admit, because, like, I am a fan, but I'm very realistic. We have not been the best, but, my friend, we've been better than you. So until you get on my level, at least make it to one playoff game, I will be quiet.
Okay.
The Cowboys need to be quiet.
Yes, you're right. But the Cowboys, for some reason, some way, somehow, are always relevant.
You're only relevant because people are dogging you out about how bad you are. Nobody said anything good about the Cowboys.
We're not that bad. We're just 8-8.
So you're proud of 8-8 and you can't even make it to the playoffs?
Technically, we're 8-8. We're not good, but we're not bad. We are 500.
Technically, you don't make it to the playoffs, so you're bad.
But we're in the playoff picture.
You're a disappointment. You playoff picture barely. You're barely in the playoff picture. You guys have enough talent. Hold on.
Okay.
Because I know what you're going to say is you guys are there only one more game. That one game makes a difference because, let me tell you why. Because when you bet someone like myself that the Bengals will not make it to the playoffs and the Cowboys will, and for two seasons you've lost that bet, it is time for you now, sir, to have what we call a seat, okay? Have several seats, okay?
Yes. You only play 1 week longer than us.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
No, it doesn't matter. We can still say we made it to the playoffs. What can y'all say? Oh, I know what it is. We're 8-8. That's the other day. We're 8-8.
You got to take care of the silver lining. Look,
there's no silver lining because
you have to take the good with the bad.
What's the good again? Oh, you're 8-8, but you didn't make it to the playoffs. I got you. I understand. The playoffs, you're not in the playoff picture. You're sitting at home watching the playoffs on TV like everybody else.
Cowboys Nation, we shall overcome this.
We shall overcome. Lord have mercy. Y'all say that every year. You say that every year, and you still don't make it to the playoffs.
You got to believe it for Jesus.
Y'all believe. Y'all Cowboy fans believe, and y'all have yet to achieve it. So I wonder how well that's going for you. It's okay. You don't have a seat. It's okay. Have a seat. Because we had a better record than you. Again. We had, the bet was who had a better record, and I won two seasons in a row.
You are right. Before I forget, definitely we got some wonderful shows to see on Netflix every Tuesday night. Every woman talks a show from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Trying to help people out there, change the world, help out communities, help out kids, cultures, anything that has something to do with the sports profession. And without Shadow Worlds providing that opportunity, we wouldn't be able to do it. We're going to go ahead to this musical interlude, and when we come back, I got my man, Director of Basketball Operations, Don Felice from the Buffalo 716ers. He's going to come on the show, we're going to interview him, and he's going to let y'all know what it takes to take y'all game to the next level. All right, go ahead, kick that musical in move.
Shadow, Radio.
Focusing on black people extermination. We keep it balanced with the knowledge of self-determination. It's hot, we be blowing the spots with conversations. Come on, let's smooth it out like soul sensation.
We in the house like Japanese in Japan or Koreans in Korea. Had the Philly and Freeman Mia with the Gucci Chocolatey. True, singing and swinging and writing is fighting. But what they writing got is clashing like titans. It's not exciting, no question. Being a black man is demanding. The fire's in my eyes and the flames need standing. The fire's in my eyes and the flames need standing. The fire's in my eyes and the flames need standing. With that word,
self-determination. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination.
Knowledge of self is like life after death. With that, you never worry about your last breath. Death comes, that's how I'm living. It's the next stage, the flesh goes underground. The book of life, flip a page. Yo, they asking me how old, we live in the same age. I show the rage of a million niggas locked inside a cage. At exactly which point do you start to realize that life without knowledge is death in disguise? That's why knowledge of self is like life after death. Applying this to your life, my destiny manifests. Different days, same confusion. We're gonna kick this hip-hop shit and keep it moving. Shed a little light, now y'all blooming like a flower with the power of the evidence. Voices and drums, original instruments in the flesh, presently presenting my representation. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination. With that word, self-determination.
That's a beautiful house, you know.
maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father civilization, God of the universe. Manifesting thoughts with my infinite size, making sure this travels 23 million miles. The other tricks are set to crucifix, because the heart of the problem is this.
We're gonna go.
Preacher got my order, putting money in the pan for the rest of the week. Now I'm eating out of soup can. He has a home, drives a caddy to town. Has my old earth believing that he's coming from the ground. Slain of those who fought for what was right. Slain of those who fell victim to the fight. A drug control stuck, sick and chain in a bow. Said about a devil as he looks and he smiles. You got the game of technology, but I have knowledge of myself. You're not fooling me.
You know the devil. There you go. Beats by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the four, coming live, future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven from a midst of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep an orbit with the probable ten, the universe expands.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. This is me, Trey, and my lovely co-host, the Miss TK. Before we forget, we got a wonderful guest on the line, Director of Basketball Operations from the semi-pro basketball team out there in Buffalo, my man, Don Felice. Hey, how you doing there, Donnie?
I'm great, Trey. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How's everything going with you?
Good. Just still shoveling here. We're hoping spring's going to hit us soon.
Oh, man. I definitely know. Don, if you go ahead, tell everybody about yourself. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I am the Director of Business Operations for the Buffalo 716ers. And we are a semi-professional basketball team playing here in Buffalo, New York. And we play in the PBL, which is the Premier Basketball League. It's a national league that has 12 teams, basically from South Carolina down to Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Okay. And how did you get involved with the Buffalo 716ers?
Well, I was a professional cyclist for many years, retired a few years ago, and was looking to stay into sports, and was online looking up for some sports jobs one night and saw a posting on Craigslist for a sales position with the team, and did some research to find out what they were about and who they were, and reached out to the organization, received an email back, sat down with the owner a couple times and liked what they were about, and took a sales position beginning with the team last year. And over the course of the season, we've all been working hard and been promoted a couple times, and now the Director of Business Operations.
Now, you being a cyclist, if I'm not mistaken, in 2008 you won a bronze medal in the Pan American Games in Argentina, right?
Yeah, I think it was something like that, but yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Talk about that experience.
Well, you know, it was an honor, obviously, to wear the red, white, and blue. I know a lot of athletes get to wear different jerseys over their career, but when you wear the stars and stripes, there's something obviously very, very special about that. Just to get to that level took, obviously, a lifetime of sacrifice and hard work on a bicycle as well as off, but to go over and to compete in another country and have success is just to get there is hard enough, and to have success is even harder. And you know, I was by myself, far away from home, just emailing friends and family, and it actually poured rain the day of the race, and the day prior to that, one of our riders had crashed really bad and was injured and probably wasn't going to make his flight home. And, you know, 39 years old, thinking like a dad, I kind of hesitated and sent my daughter an email, and she basically said, you know, you didn't go 5,900 and whatever miles I was to sit in your hotel room and cry about it. So she told me to go ride my bike, and I took that advice and was blessed to win a bronze medal. So, yeah, it was a life-changing experience. Yes, thank you.
Oh, no problem, and definitely congratulations to you. A lot of people can go in their, you know, lifetime saying they've done something big and accomplished something major just like that. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, a lot of people had a lot of big part in it. It cost a lot of money to get over there. I did some fundraisers, and a lot of friends and families and a lot of people reached deep into their pockets to help me get over there, and that was definitely a lot of the motivation is knowing, and so I was very blessed to have the opportunity, and I definitely tried to do my best. So I'll take a bronze medal to me was like gold. So I was very, very obviously happy with the result. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Now, you're in the organization is there in Buffalo. You just had the NCAA tournament in the city of Buffalo. What impact did the Big Dance have in Buffalo?
Well, obviously, huge exposure for the global market as far as basketball. The passion is definitely here, and it's alive in Buffalo. I think we showed that. Obviously, financial income into the economy, hotels, reservations, restaurants, cab drivers were busy, selling more newspapers. So obviously the economic value to the region, you know, A, we showed we have the venue that can host the event at the First Niagara Center in Buffalo. I think as far as the fans, the way the NCAA regionalizes their brackets now, it allowed some fans to only have to drive a couple hours to see their team play versus flying across the country to see their team play. And giving that region here that opportunity, I think, is fantastic. And, you know, I think Buffalo did a great job showing we can hold a world-class event.
And that concern, why is it so important to bring basketball, professional basketball, back to Buffalo?
Well, as far as the NBA, I think it's a market here that, you know, we had the Braves for a while, and, you know, we sold them to San Diego, and now obviously the L.A. Clippers, but I think the market here definitely can support it. Once again, you know, the NBA holds such high standards, you know, with their organizations that are working, you know, on multi-million-dollar budgets. You know, we market what we're doing here on such a small budget to kind of match what these teams are trying to do. I think as far as some of the other pro sports teams we have here in Buffalo, as far as the Bills, Sabres, with the rivalries we have with other cities, being able to create that with Toronto and Cleveland and Miami and some of these other teams that, you know, we've built that with, will only enhance the sports value for families to come out and watch. We bring the Harlem Globetrotters to town every year. So once again, you know, we have the venue, we have all the tools. We just need the team to come to town and play. I mean, to see LeBron or one of these guys, you know, KD come to Buffalo and play on the waterfront up here would just be, you know, I think huge exposure, not just for the league, but for our region as well.
Great. Hi, Don. Pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I have a question. I want to know, what impact does the PBL have on players that have aspirations to play basketball on a higher level?
Well, as far as what these players are looking to do,
mm-hmm.
I think with the PBL, they have a TV deal out of Chicago with the Soul of the South. So they broadcast a national TV game every week. I think using Ustream like they're doing, so the games are live streamed on the internet, I think players just have a great chance to show exposure, not just to the people in the arena, but to basically someone anywhere with a smartphone or a laptop anywhere in the world. So the exposure that the player gains by people being able to watch, then they can actually take that film that's archived and they can cut it up and make their own highlight tapes to send out. I think as far as a player, you know, that video everywhere as a sports agent, everyone wants to see the most current film. They want to see highlights. And, you know, the PBL definitely provides some of the best technology as far as sporting in the industry that's available right now, and I think that's just a huge thing for these players.
And wow. Now, as a director of basketball operations, you know, how does your job direct and influence the organization?
Funny that you ask that. Well, my title is one thing, but obviously, you know, I wear many hats with the team. I'm honored. You know, as the director of business, I basically connect with the owner on a daily basis, you know, on everything as far as corporate sponsorships, you know, to practice, to travel, schedules, as far as league meetings, video conference calls to the commissioner of the league during the season. There is so much behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into a professional basketball team. It was easy to just get on my bike and ride. There's so much to learn and so much to do. I make sure the owner, you know, basically from the owner to everybody in the organization has everything they need to run. Make sure on game day that, you know, everything runs smooth. Fans are happy. Games are going on during the quarters. We get everything going so that, you know, at tip-off, everything runs smooth 100%. I also have the privilege to travel with the team. I've traveled to every road game this year. And, you know, it's hard enough for these guys to play with the distractions going on, let alone to travel and sleep in a strange bed and then perform. So, obviously, I take care of the team on the road and make sure we get in the hotels and meals and the shoot-arounds on game day. So, basically, just overseeing the entire operation as far as, you know, a business and a sports standpoint. You know, the players need to perform at their best, and that's what I try to do is give them every tool possible.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And with that, you know, all that you do, did you find it easy or, you know, hard, you know, making that transition from, you know, being a cyclist to where you're at right now as far as your job with the organization?
Well, I'll be honest, it wasn't too hard at the end. When I cycled, I think I rode around 94,000 miles in 9 years as a pro rider. So I pedaled pretty much all over the world, and my body was tired. It was time. Enough was enough. And being a chef by trade, I just wasn't ready to get back into that industry yet. Long hours and holidays, I definitely wanted to stay into sports. You know, as an athlete, I still wanted to compete but wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. So I started training with a friend of mine who's a professional soccer player and started playing soccer, which was a passion of mine. I played in high school and throughout, you know, most of the time of my life as a goalkeeper and started playing soccer again. So I had my competitive edge on Sundays, but once again, looking to stay into the sports and stay close to athletes. Becoming a sports agent was a dream of mine. I did all my qualifications to become a certified athlete agent. So my experience, you know, as a cyclist, traveling the world and riding, as well as talking with sponsors, negotiating contracts, definitely helped that transition phase. It's a lot nicer doing business in a suit than wearing spandex, I'll tell you that.
Once you said chef, you know, TK, her eyes lit up, chef, you know, I don't know what it is, you know.
Yeah, when I come check out a game, you might have to put some chef skills to work, Don.
I don't know, TK. First thing, I want to just give my love to Dayton. I don't want to get hurt here. I heard you over there, man.
I'm a play about Dayton.
I didn't go into where they were. They were a pick till then, and that's where they should have been. And like you said, that's why they played the game. And it's definitely been exciting to watch the NCAA tournament. So
definitely,
I just wanted to get up to Dayton so I didn't get hurt tonight.
appreciate it, Dom. Thank you.
As a sports agent, how do you manage to pick the best player? Like, how do you fit? What process do you go through as far as signing a player?
Well, it's a long process, but basically as a sports agent, I mean, there's not much sleep. A lot of the deals come in the middle of the night with the time change. So that's kind of fun. At 3 a.m., my phone's going off, and it's someone somewhere that wants a player. So, but as far as signing players, I evaluate all the players. I watch film constantly. Once again, being in the PBL, we bring a lot of teams. We travel to a lot of places, so I get to see a lot of players. You know, the PD Vipers, which are one of the teams in Florence, South Carolina. Xavier McDaniel, the old X-Man, is with the organization. Sharon Wright is, I believe, an owner or general manager of the team. Don't quote me on his position, but, you know, there's ex-NBA people in our league. So, you know, going and shaking hands with the big guys of the industry as a first-year expansion team has been fantastic. You know, as far as looking at talent, yeah, evaluate them, talk to coaches, talk to other players that have maybe played against these guys. Very, very selective on who we bring in. Royalty Sports Management is our sports agency here in Buffalo, New York. We pretty much handpick the players that we have. I'm hit up with probably 20 emails a day with film. From as young as 15 years old, I had some player in Kazakh, 15 years old, asking me to help him out. So, and obviously with the rules that are there, you can't really, you know, go that route as far as, you know, the age rules and all that as a sports agent. So we obviously want to protect ourselves in that way. But it's just, you know, the talent of players. There's some hidden gems in cities and, you know, we just had a player in Erie, Pennsylvania, got an offer in Puerto Rico. There's four teams looking at him, and he's 32 years old. It's been his lifelong dream to get overseas and to be a part and watch him develop, not just as a player, as a person, and now just be so thankful to God and the opportunity that he has to go and pursue his dream. It's great, because that's what it's about, is getting these players to the next level, so they can get out of the town where they grew up and go pursue a career, whether it's overseas or the D-League or somewhere, but getting paid to play a game that they love and perform at the highest level.
Wow, and that's definitely always something that's good. What are the requirements to play in the PBL?
Basically, it's an 18 and over men's league. Most of the teams have open tryouts, but obviously, like any sport, you've got a few players that you know you're going to build your team around. Our process, back in September, we held a couple open tryouts. I think we had around 46 or 47 of probably Buffalo's best talent come out. From there, we got down to about 20 guys. We held another weekend exhibition. We brought in a team from Toronto. We brought in a team from Ohio. We played some games. And from there, we picked around 16 players, at which point, you know, we carry or dress 10 for our travel games. We dress 12 at home. And then we have a practice squad of four or five players in case injuries or, you know, so we can get a turnout at practice and be able to scrimmage and do the things we need to prepare, you know, as best as possible for some of the teams in the league.
Wow. Well, definitely on a regular basis, your job is from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep. I know your plate is always full. What do you do, and this is just one of those questions, you know, it's just when the opportunity comes, you just shake your head. What do you do when there's the worst player in the gym always comes up to you saying they want a deal, they want an offer? What do you tell them?
That's funny. You know, everybody's got a place in the game. Every player has a role on their team. I think players need to know what their role is and what best way to fit it. You know, as far as players walking right up and asking for deals, honestly, that really doesn't happen too often. But, you know, we always try to tell people to stay positive, work on the fundamentals. One of the big things I preach in practice, especially when we're, you know, doing our two-minute drills, is shot selection and free throws, because those are just, you know, you watch every game now. It comes down to the last couple minutes. You know, these guys are running down the floor and shooting up a questionable three with 23 seconds left on the shot clock when they're only down one, and it doesn't make much sense. So there's where your shot selection comes in, and when they drive to the basket and they get fouled and they don't make their free throws, that's where free throws are important. And I know the 716ers have learned their lesson this year, because our first few games that we lost, we missed a substantial amount of free throws that, you know, made the difference in basketball games. And, you know, just missing the playoffs by one or two games as we did in our first year, you know, once again, they call them free throws for a reason. And as a soccer player, that's like a penalty kick, and you know they don't miss those in soccer. So you shouldn't miss them in basketball.
You know what? Definitely, kids, you heard that. Work on your free throws. Work on the clutch moments, because those are the most important things. Don't worry about jumping over cars or things of that sort, any other, you know, team, and work on the fundamentals. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this interview up, and before I do, Mr. Don, do you have anything to say?
No, just that, you know, it's great what you're doing. It's an honor to be with you, and definitely look forward to talking with you again in the future. And, you know, it's an honor to work in basketball. It's a great sport. Been around for a really, really long time. We're working with a lot of good charities up here in Buffalo, New York, so it's wonderful to give back to the community that comes out and supports our games. And, you know, we just keep hoping to have a successful run and hopefully bring a PBL championship back to Buffalo in 2015.
Thank you very much for coming ahead, coming to the game, Buffalo Talk Show. Definitely putting Buffalo on the map. Buffalo 716ers on the map as well. And do you have a Facebook, or, you know, anybody that wanted to follow the team? Do they have a Twitter, Facebook, anything of that sort?
Yep, we got our website. It's the Buffalo716ers.net. 716 comes after the area code for our phone number in this region. And we are on all the social media networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, under Buffalo 716ers, so you can follow us there. I'm on everything at NF Paperboy is my handle for Twitter and Instagram, and I'm also on Facebook. So reach out, follow the team, and support basketball, not just here in Buffalo, but around the world.
And thank you. Will do. And before we leave, Ms. TK, you got any final words?
Thanks, Don, for coming on the show. Thank you, Shadow World Network and Game Strong, for having me again. I had a great time. Don, I will be looking forward to coming to one of your games, and you're fixing me a plate.
Yeah, come on up. I'll cook you the best chicken wings you ever had, girl. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm coming. I'm going to talk to you after the show.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too.
Once again, hey, thanks a lot, Mr. Don Felicit, for coming on the show. Definitely my co-host, lovely Ms. TK, for coming on the show as well, being a co-host with me. Couldn't be anywhere else in the whole world, but you decided to chop it up with me. Game Strong, I love y'all. Next week, 8 o'clock, be right there. We got to go ahead. We start a Hard Knock Life series. Until then, I'll check y'all out next week. Stay on that grind.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you got to know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you are. We about to bring it.
Thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. I love the Monday Night with
all right, everybody.
This can't get ball, man.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Game Strong. We're here. And we're here to go ahead and impact.